I've just pressed the button and we are live. Good evening, folks. This is Radio Edgy Talk. This is John Johnson. I'm sitting in Glasgow on a rather rainy and gloomy evening. And my co-host David Noble is in Spain. And we've just Skyped David in, so we'll see how that works. Good evening, David.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Suzanne. Really looking forward to tonight's show.
Yep, sounding good all that way away, and I guess your weather is probably a wee bit better than mine.
Just a little, John.
Just a little. And tonight, we're really pleased to have, this has been in the plan for a wee while, we've got Suzanne Scott from Borders College. Is it Borders College or the Corders? Yeah, Borders College, not...
Borders College.
The College of the Borders or anything like that, is it? No,
not yet. We haven't been renamed yet.
Yeah. So, could you maybe just start, Suzanne, by just giving us a wee bit of background about who you are, what you do, what you're interested in, and then we'll take it from there.
Sorry, I lost you there.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm just saying...
It's the crucial moment, I think.
That's okay. We'll not edit this out. It just makes it more awful. Yeah. We'll see.
It's more real. I guess you were just asking me to do a sort of brief intro. Basically, I'm the Technology Enhanced Learning Manager at Borders College. Borders College is quite a small college, although we are one of the most successful colleges in Scotland in terms of our learner success, and we cover a large geographical area, very vocational focused college, with lots of different types of students, from school leavers right up to evening class attendees of 18-19 years. We're very fortunate in the college to have a technology enhanced learning unit. There's five of us in there, including myself. So there's myself and my colleague, who's the e-learning specialist. We have a media technician who's responsible for creating all our own audio and video content. We also have a graphic designer, kind of web designer. In fact, he does everything for us, really. And we also have our own dedicated learning technologist who's responsible for maintaining Moodle. So... The reason that we have a team as good as this is really because we received funding 18 months ago, 2 years ago now, from JISC, and we were given money really to look at how to overcome some of the barriers to embedding technology enhanced learning in a college environment, and as a result of that project, which was called BOLT, and you can find out all about it at bolt.ac.uk, we were fortunate enough for the college to see the value in what we'd done, and they established the team kind of full-time.
Brilliant. It sounds, I actually visited the college a wee while ago, and although your working room at that time was quite tight, it was obviously a really great team that are working there. And
yeah, and we've just moved office as well, so it's palatial.
shiny new space. So... Yeah. I think the first time we met, Suzanne, was at a conference in Edinburgh where you were talking about open badges, and that's really why we asked you on. So I wonder, could you maybe just start by telling folk who maybe don't know or only a rough idea what open badges are, and a sort of an elevator pitch for open badges, maybe?
Yeah. Well, one of the great things about the project was that we got to look at a different technology and how it can be used to enhance learning, and one of the beauties of that was being able to go to lots of conferences and hear people speaking, and one of the most inspirational people I've ever heard speaking was Doug Belshaw from Mozilla, and he introduced me to open badges. And an open badge is basically similar to what you used to get if you were ever in the Cubs or the Brownies, a badge which then you would have sewn onto your uniform, but nowadays an open badge is a visual image which is stored online and contains metadata about what you've achieved. And the kind of theory behind open badges is that we all participate in learning in so many different ways now, but you don't always get recognition for that learning. You get recognition if you do a standard grade or a higher or a HNC or whatever, but actually watching 6 weeks worth of video tutorials to learn how to use an Adobe product or something like that doesn't really get acknowledged. And that was what really kind of appealed to me about open badges. At the time, I was still teaching computing, and we had a lot of our students who were doing really innovative things as part of their course. So rather than submitting an essay, they were creating a short film. Rather than submitting a report, they were creating a podcast. but there was nowhere in their transcript of their HNC that told anybody that they'd done that. And so I could see that there was a gap, really, to sort of accredit informal learning and accredit the types of learning that we don't always recognise through formal qualifications. So the badge is displayed online, can be issued in lots of different ways, displayed online and is stored in various places, most normally in a, well, in the Mozilla backpack, so that you can go on, look at your badges, group them depending on how you want to show them to people. And within that badge you can see various types of information. So you can see where it was issued, when it was issued, who it was issued to, what the criteria were for achieving that badge. And then possibly one of the most exciting things about a badge is that you can also link it to evidence. So, for example, a student who had created a podcast isn't just getting a badge that says they can create a podcast. They can actually put a web link in and takes the viewer of that badge to the podcast, and then they can listen to that. So that's kind of what excited me about open badges. There's nowhere near an elevator pitch, I'm afraid. I'm not very good at elevator pitches.
No, that was actually really, really clear, I think. A great explanation. I think you picked all... I've been kind of reading and puzzling around open badges for quite a while, but that kind of hit all the main important points. And I think the last couple about this idea of being linked to evidence seems to be really powerful. And
I think that is one of the great things about open badges, and I think it's one thing that isn't really being pushed by a lot of people at the moment, and it's certainly one of the things that we're really keen to explore with open badges. I think that's where, you know, the real value comes.
But you are really at the very cutting edge. I know the SQA have done some encouragement around open badges, and people are dipping their toes in here or there, but I think when Ian Stewart and myself saw you in conference, it was the first time we'd ever seen a whole beginning to end project that made sense. You know, it wasn't just a wee test of badges. You've done a whole series of things. Could you maybe just explain how some of the, or just tell us about some of the things you've done with badges, maybe some things that worked, some things that didn't, and some more story about the badges themselves?
As you say, there's some really interesting work going on now, but we were one of the first to kind of start looking into badges. And I think some things we were possibly too early, you know, it was kind of too much too soon. And because there wasn't a lot of support for what we were doing, it was quite difficult. I mean, I kind of came back guns blazing to the college saying that, you know, I wanted to introduce badges to my computing students, but they wanted me to kind of do a fact-finding mission and explore a bit further before we took it to the curriculum, which, you know, looking back, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I think they're right to do that. So we kind of started looking at it from a very different perspective, and we realised that we could actually issue badges to our students just for using Moodle, and the aim of that was really to try and enhance their digital literacy skills. So to kind of acknowledge that, you know, the skill of adding to a discussion forum or posting a professional profile picture and statement was really, really important, and that some of those skills should be recognised for our students as well. So we created a suite of Moodle badges, some of the kind of three levels, kind of beginner, intermediate and advanced, really. And then within those, there was mini badges, so they were broken down further. So you got a mini badge if you posted twice to a discussion forum. You got another mini badge if you started a discussion forum, and they kind of added up, there's maybe three or four, and eventually you got the main badge. So we started issuing Moodle badges just to two small pilot groups, and they were very well received. And it really just kind of gave us a starting point for starting to talk about open badges and say, you know, this is what they are, and this is how they work, and this is what we can do with them. And through that, it was really just a chance conversation, you know, one of these corridor conversations that are always the greatest beginnings in any project. But our HR manager said, well, I've heard about these Moodle badges, quite like to find out more about open badges. And then basically from that conversation, we got to the point of being able to replace all of our staff CPD certification with open badges. So previously, all our mandatory training, which we undertake three or four times a year, we were given paper certificates, which were always lost or, you know, put in bin by accident or whatever, and didn't really hold any value, to be honest. that what the head of HR wanted to do was completely replace that paper certificate with an open badge. So now every CPD session at Rogers College results in an open badge being issued to staff, and that's across the board now.
And you've been, must have been doing that for a wee while now. It's...
Yeah, we've been doing that for about 18 months probably.
Oh, yeah. And the staff have accepted it? And
yeah, they have very much actually, because at the time, you know, we had a discussion about whether we should offer staff the choice of a badge or a paper certificate. But thankfully, you know, our whole senior management team are very behind what the Technology Enhanced Learning Unit do, and so it was a great support for me. We just get rid of the paper certificates and we go with open badges. This is the future. And people receive them really well, and I think partly because they see the added value in them. They see that now their CPD isn't just something they have to do, but because they can upload it to an independent backpack which can be used other places, they see that if they do leave the college, that CPD is actually counting towards, you know, generally to their CV in the future.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm getting a couple of questions from David via the Skype chat. I think he's having a wee bit of trouble with the audio, and they're around sort of implementation, how it was planned, and you've started to sort of scope that out a bit, and the sort of, he's saying the key milestones that happened when you were doing this, and obviously I presume getting staff on board was pretty key, and what you would do differently if you were starting badges again.
I think I would definitely start with CPD badges if I was starting again, and everybody I've spoken to since who's, you know, sort of starting to look at bringing badges into particularly a college environment, I've said to them, start with CPD because you've got the most control over it. You can implement it fairly easily, and what it does is it instantly makes everybody aware of what an open badge is within an organisation, because everybody's got one.
Yeah.
So whether they like it or not, they're going to find out what one is. And just through that, then we started getting the interest from the curriculum staff about saying, you know, how can we start to use these then? You know, I've got one from a CPD, but I actually could have used it with my students. And that's kind of where we're going in the future.
Brilliant.
In terms of the actual process, it's various different things. I mean, we're lucky because we've got Moodle, we issue through Moodle, and the badges are stored in Moodle, so that makes it very easy for us. We're spending a lot of time at the moment trying to put together some kind of platform to help us issue badges externally. There's so many different tools out there, and everybody's trying to do this, everybody's trying to find a solution. There's lots and lots of different toolkits available. You know, there's a badge canvas which helps you to design a badge and look at criteria and things like that, and Mozilla are bringing out a badge maker, and there's other various people who have online tools which can help you create badges and issue badges, but nobody seems to have kind of cracked it yet, so we're trying to work on something ourselves, but it is very difficult. And I think that's kind of where it needs to go next, is kind of greater sort of collaboration really, particularly in Scotland, because there's already an OBSEG group, which is the Open Badges Scottish Education Group, which was set up by JISC to support colleges, universities, employers, and to try and bring people together to try and push open badges in Scotland, because, you know, certainly this time last year Scotland were seen as kind of best practice in open badges, mm-hmm. really leading the way, and you know that's really exciting, and we need to make sure that continues.
Well, so, certainly, as I say, your work seems to be, in practical terms, quite well ahead of the pack. I'm kind of interested, does Moodle make it quite easy for you to do the initial issuing of the badge, and that you said it stores as well, so students can choose to either store it in Moodle, or is it an or an and or store it in a backpack?
It's an and or, so they can leave it in Moodle, but obviously once they leave the college, then if they didn't sort of export it to the backpack, they would lose it. It's a fairly easy process once they've been issued with a badge. They get an email saying it's there, and then they can go in, and it's basically a drop down menu, push the backpack, and it's as simple as that. And we've had some issues in that, you know, at the moment we're sort of manually issuing all the badges, which obviously can take quite a long time. And again, we're working with our learning technologists to work out a way of automating that, because once we do get into the curriculum and we've got a 3-year plan to roll out open badges across the curriculum, obviously we're going to have to get to a point of automated issuing. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but we're getting there.
So by automated issuing, do you mean if in Moodle or somewhere else the sort of evidence was there, the badge would just automatically end up? So if I posted a bit of evidence about something I've learned, I could sort of claim that and it would be pushed to me automatically, or is there a check?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to get to some point of a sort of checklist that lecturers can complete, and it's just a tick against the name, issue this badge, and from that it's then automatically issued. Like I say, it's not so bad with the staff, because we're only talking about 150-200 staff, but with 1500 students it's a bit of a different story.
Right, and you think you're going to be in the position that you're actually badging courses across that number of students at some point?
Well, that's in our strategic objectives for the college. The Technology Enhanced Learning Unit have their own objectives, which are supported by the senior management for the next 3 years, and that is a complete rollout of open badges across the curriculum, which we're really excited about. I mean, to have that kind of level of support is amazing. So it's great. I'm really excited about that.
Another question from David here. It'll take me a minute to read it because it's quite a long one, David. It says, school teachers and some further education are within the new system of professional update related to CPD and professional standards. This is a rolling 5-year approach to evidencing career-long professional learning. And he says, can badges be sufficiently formal, rigorous and stable to be used for this?
I mean, I think there's still a lot of questions about badges. I mean, the one that comes up all the time is, you know, can it be hacked? Well, the answer to that is, of course it can be hacked, you know, and in the same way that somebody who's good with Photoshop could create a degree from, you know, Cambridge or whatever, somebody could hack a badge and say that they've created it. But, I mean, the value of a badge comes from it being verified through the fact that, you know, Borders College issue a badge. There's an additional option within a badge for it to be endorsed. So, for example, if we've got joiners who are working with local trades, we could have a badge for joinery which could be endorsed by one of those local companies. Now, that adds an extra layer to the kind of the verification process, and people would see that it was treated by Borders College and endorsed by a local firm. So, I mean, those are the only things that kind of, you know, can ever really verify it. There is issues, like I say, and there's lots and lots of unanswered questions about it, but certainly in terms of CPD, I would certainly say that open badges are, you know, where I see things going. I mean, there's a great belief in badges, and the SQA and other people are very much behind open badges. And I mean, certainly having SQA approval to sort of create open badges was another turning point for us in the college, because they issued a statement, I think it was last November, saying that we saw open badges as the future, and we gave sort of permission to innovate, and that was a turning point for us, because at that point the college, you know, like anybody would say, you know, somebody from above that's saying it's okay to do this. So I certainly think we'll see open badges. I don't think it's just a phase. I don't think people will, you know, I don't think they'll just vanish. I think they're here to stay, and I think we'll get to a point where you've got a CD with a suite of open badges that goes along beside it.
Right, so your CV would be online and would link to badges, and I guess you tailor the badges to the job. So I wouldn't have my knitting badge in with my joinery CV or whatever, and it'd be quite easy to pull that together. And your students, when they've left, some of them actually migrated their badges into their backpack.
We haven't got to that point yet, because the only students who have badges at the moment are the Moodle ones, and although it was a very small pilot we ran with the Moodle ones, as I say, it was really just about raising awareness. Mm-hmm. So our students aren't actually that aware of open badges yet, but we're hoping really from the beginning of next year to start looking at curriculum.
Right. I wonder then, I mean, because quite often when I've talked to people introducing new technology, and I know this isn't strictly a technology, but introducing new technology to schools, for instance, one of the things that seems to really make it a success is to give the staff a head start. You know, people that have issued tablets or whatever very often say you give the tablets to the staff for 6 months before you hand them out to pupils. And do you think you'll get that sort of advantage, as in staff won't feel underskilled compared to their students when they hit that?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, like I say, we very much hoped that through the CPD the staff would then start coming to us, and that is what's happening. And I can't imagine the students being kind of negative about badges. I mean, I might be proved wrong, but certainly the feedback we got so far was very good. And obviously badges are very much linked to, you know, gamification and the idea that people can level up and things like that, and that's what we want to try and build in. We also want to try and look at, I mean, there's lots of ideas for how we could use badges in the future. One is to look at, you know, sort of bridging course between school and college, so that for our students who haven't quite sort of got the grades, we could possibly offer sort of an online course over the summer where if they were able to complete certain tasks, they were awarded badges, which would then give them access to our courses.
Yeah.
We also talk about, you know, the possibility of accrediting prior learning through open badges. And I think all those things will appeal to our students. You know, I think it's sort of something that they can share, and something that's got certainly an aesthetic value. Will be important to them.
Yeah, that was the thing as well. When I visited the college, you have a graphics guy or gal, I can't remember which, who designed your badges, and you were pretty serious about making them look good.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's another one of these points that's quite contentious around badges, because a lot of people say, you know, the aesthetic isn't that important. But actually, I really do believe it's important, because if you've got a kind of naff-looking badge, nobody wants it.
Yeah.
if they're really beautiful, people do aspire to them and they want to collect them. And I mean, that's just human nature, you know, that's how we work. And we have put a lot of effort into the design of our badges. And although that's taken a long time to get to that point, we now have sort of a template, so that certain CPD badges have colours. So if it's a technical skill, or if it's a sort of softer skill, they're different colours. We've got a kind of standard template for, you know, either putting the date on it or not putting the date on it and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a much sleeker process now than it was. And I mean, we are very lucky to have a graphic designer. Not everyone's going to have that. But I think you should do your best to create a nice graphic for your badge. And one of the things, we started talking to the schools locally about this as well. And what they were saying was, okay, they won't have a graphic designer in the school, but actually they might have students who would be prepared to design the badges for them. And I think that's a great way of getting the students involved.
You would have to obviously have a badge designer's badge.
Yeah, of course.
Of which the evidence would be that you've made a badge that's become successful or become desired by your peers, which is quite nice. And do you think, and this probably goes away from David's question about formal and rigorous badges, do you think there's room in badges for, like, peer awarded badges?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, I mean, I really like the idea of peer awarding between the students. I think there's definitely room for that. The problem is that people say, you know, well, I'll give you a badge for making a cup of tea. You know, and they sort of try, it's almost belittling the badge, you know, and I think we have to be careful that doesn't happen, because it could very easily happen. But I do think that getting to a point where the students are really engaged with badges and giving them the opportunity to award to their peers, but also to staff, you know, is a great idea. I have to say, it was something that I suggested a few years ago, and I didn't go down very well, let's say. I'm desperately looking for evidence of where that's been used, because I can't believe it's not been used anywhere. But I think it would be a great way to actually recognise the work that our staff do, because a lot of our staff put a lot of effort into the Moodle pages and, you know, using technology innovatively within the classroom. And I just think we're still in a situation where we get boxes of chocolates and flowers at the end of a year. Rather than that, why don't we let our students give us a badge, you know, which we can actually use for CPD?
Yeah, they would also have to tie it into some evidence, which would be probably useful for the students in even thinking about their learning. And I guess that's where you dip back into this rigour, is the fact that you've got to have the evidence. Like, a badge without evidence is just a picture. And you tie in. So, and this took me a wee while to understand, the actual evidence is in the badge.
Yeah. So they talk about baking the metadata into the badge, and it basically means that it's just all kind of behind the picture. But it means that data is all transferred. So when the badge moves from the middle to the back half of it, wherever you go, that data is all there. And it's hard-coding it into the badge. Really. But it is the evidence that makes a badge. Yeah. And that's why, you know, that's where I want to see things going, is the focus on the evidence.
And again, I'm guessing if a student produces, you were saying, a film or, you know, some documentation or some sort of digital artifact that is the evidence for his badge, the URL will get baked into the badge, but that means we need to keep these URLs alive, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is the only issue, but I suppose, you know, you'd hope, first of all, that if a student's creating that kind of content and it's part of a portfolio, that they would be continually adding to that portfolio. I mean, one of the things I really want to look at as well is how we can use our e-portfolio Mahara and kind of make sure that is a lifelong learning, you know, journal that goes with people, a portfolio they can keep adding to, because it can be exported, so the student, when they leave us, they can take it with them. But if they can keep that and keep adding to it, then it, making sure that all the evidence is stored there should kind of get around that problem. But I mean, it's definitely always going to be an issue that if things are moved or, you know, websites are lost or whatever, then the evidence will be lost, and that's, again, it's another one of these issues that hasn't quite been resolved.
Well, I guess we're at the stage digitally very early on. I mean, books now last a reasonable length of time, but you know, all that stuff that people saved onto floppy disks is is getting near to be lost and gone forever now. You know, various other things, hard disks that are wiped by magnets or by dropping and all the rest of it, and we really, I guess, are at the stage where we need to start thinking about this. You can see e-portfolios getting linked to lifelong learning, and if you have your e-portfolio in a school silo, for instance, then how do you get it out and take it to college? How does your badges go?
I mean, I would love to see a portfolio that went all through somebody's journey of learning. I would love to see that, and I think there needs to be more joined up thinking around that, because we're very bad at that at the moment. I mean, I don't even know that our students take their portfolios to university. If they do, we don't know about it, we don't know what we continue to add to them, and that's a shame.
And linking into that, David's asked me a question actually, rather than you, and because one of the reasons I talked to you first when we came down to, Ian and I came down to the borders, is that we were interested in badges in GLOW and using badges in GLOW, which is the Scottish School's national intranet. So I guess we're still looking at badges, still trying to figure out how to do things, and how to set up a system that would work across schools and colleges. And one of our problems is that we're dealing with children quite often are under 13, who I think would love badges and would love a badge they could put on the internet. So it'd be interesting to try and figure out some sort of solution so that they could arrive in the college with a badge or two perhaps, and add more badges and take more on from there.
I mean, I think there is a lot of interest from a lot of people. It's just, it's a bit like everything. There's a lack of funding for any research around open badges, and it's very difficult to try and pull everybody together that's interested in it. And I think there is a need for, you know, somebody kind of, whether it's the Scottish Government or whether it's SQA or somebody to take a lead on this. I mean, JISC were doing a good job, I have to say, but obviously things have changed for JISC. And they're not being funded anymore, and they've been funded in a very different way. So, you know, it's a shame if we lose momentum at this point in Scotland around open badges, but you know, unfortunately it all takes money.
But I think you've obviously not put the brakes on your plans. Also got another wee question here from Ian Guest on Twitter. Good evening, Ian. And he says, wonders whether the Scottish Borders College will be using badges to credential subsets of courses which are also formally credentialed. Sorry, Ian.
It's a difficult one because, you know, people say our badges going to replace degrees and things like that. I mean, they're not intended to do that. What they're intended to do is accredit learning, which isn't normally accredited. So they will not replace our qualifications in terms of HNCs and HNDs and NCs that we award. What they will do is try and pick out the skills that aren't necessarily that visible to employers. So, I mean, obviously within the borders, the job market's fairly poor, and we need to try and give our students an advantage over any other students that have been out there. So really it's about kind of picking out the things that we don't already assess and don't already kind of recognise through formal accreditation. So as I said, we've been in, you know, the example of our students don't necessarily write reports and essays, they create a podcast or a film. Those skills don't show up anywhere in the transcript. You know, those units are kind of hidden under the name of the unit. It doesn't say podcasting unit, it says, you know, creative industries or something like that. So it's about pulling out the additional skills and about acknowledging other things that have maybe done at the college, so whether they've been student president or been involved in clubs or things like that. So it's not going to replace the formal qualification system that we have.
So it maybe sort of flavours the qualification, if you know what I mean. You're going along to an employer and saying, I've got this qualification, but I've done more of that. It's got a hint of lemon in it, or whatever. And the employer who's in the lemon industry thinks, well, that's great, and they can see things that they wouldn't normally see. They would normally maybe need to take through, you know, interview and just take on trust.
Yeah.
This gives them a wee bit more information and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely, you know, like you say, in love. Unless they get to interview stage, they're not going to get a chance to get that information across. So it's about getting them to that interview stage and about making them stand out from the crowd. Because at the moment, if there's a pile of CVs sitting, hopefully our students going out in the next couple of years with a CV and badges will stand out.
That sounds great. Is there anything else, any big major things you think we've missed tonight, Suzanne?
I don't think so. I mean, like I say, we're hopefully doing a good job. We're very proud of what we've achieved so far. We love talking to people about open badges and trying to encourage people to use them, because obviously the greater the community, the more support we've all got, and the better we can make this. So, it's been really nice speaking to you. I hope people have enjoyed it.
Right, and you've just actually answered... You just answered one of David's questions, which I missed in the Skype chat, was, you know, how do you spread this and how do you spread the word? And you talk to people. I've seen you present. And that's, I say, there is a lot of buzz around badges, but I think it's really great to hear from somebody who has, you know, who can walk the walk as well as talk the talk, because that seems to be the tricky bit now. So thank you very much, Suzanne, for coming on and telling us
thank
all.
Thank you very much.
Another,
thank you for having me.
I'm just reading David Ian Guest's tweet again. He says, perhaps open badges have greater credence because they're linked with evidence in ways other credential systems aren't.
that's so, a nice way to end, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one. And David is, I don't know if you're seeing his texts, but he's just texting a thanks. So a thank you from me as well. And if folk are listening out there, by the time I manage to type in my browser, I'll tell you what we've got coming up on EduTalk. Next Tuesday, the 4th actually, we've got Professor Angela McFarlane, who's the CEO and Register of the College of Teachers. The Tuesday after that, we've got Daryl Stanfield. And the Wednesday after that, we've got Bill Boyd. But you can see all the forthcoming shows on edutalk.cc upcoming. There's a fair pile of things, and we've got other people in the pipeline. So if you're listening, thanks very much for listening. Don't hesitate to get in touch. You can either do what Ian Guest was doing tonight. You can tweet a question in, or you can email us at edutalk@hotmail.co.uk, or get in touch through the blog at edutalk.cc. We're always happy to say it. Oh, and we've got a day, David, tell me, I've forgotten all about it, and I'm actually quite excited about this. We've got a day in Stirling on the 8th of November, I'm guessing, which is a Saturday morning, where we've invited a few people. Saturday 8th of November, 10 to 12:30, says my Skype memory, thanks David, where we've invited various people to come along and have a wee chat about how we can develop EduTalk. If you're interested in that at all, please get in touch. Lunch is included, right? So once again, Suzanne, a huge thanks to talk to you. I hope I get to talk to you soon again, professionally, about how we can join up maybe school education and colleges, and just see how you're getting on with the badges. It's brilliant to hear about all the stuff you've been doing. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And I'm just going to hang up the broadcast. So good night, folks.